Okay, we'll go. We get right to it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Baruchim Abayim, everyone. I'm really honored. I'm really honored. I have a chance to be with everybody here before this. Honestly, it could have been any day of the year just to be together. In these times feels like a yontif. Just being together feels special. Happens to be that we're in Hachana for Chag HaPesach, so that's very, very special. And it'd be easy, it'd probably be the easiest thing in the world right now to just give out a very classic 14 to 25 Daf Mikoros and go through a bunch of Rishonim and Achronim to delve into any beautiful Nekuda from this Hilchot Pesach. Mamash Yachol, and there's a time and a place for everything. And that's what I was planning on doing, actually, because we're learning something very special. But Manias, anyone that knows me, I can't pretend that I can't go by script ever. It's never happened before successfully. I've tried it, and it doesn't work so much. If it's okay, I also just want to dedicate this shiur in memory of this precious boy that we lost over Shabbos. I don't know his full name, and his mother's name is Miriam, his father's name is Ophir, his name was Binyamin, if anyone knows his full name. I grew up with his parents. His mother was in my grade, and his father was my madrich in Bnei Akiva, Mishpachat Achim Meir. So it's a... He was just laid to rest, just actually as we're speaking. So there's so much... There is so much that the heart is feeling. And I'm going to try, Bezrat Hashem, to tie in one nekuda that's very simple, I think, into what's going on in our lives. And Bifrat, to get us prepared for the point of Leila Seder, which is actually mamash the point of Leila Seder. But I have to give you a very interesting hakdama. Where's Debbie? I saw Debbie's here. Okay, because you're shayach to this a little bit. You'll see. You didn't even know. You'll see. So, Debbie and I know each other since we're born. Our fathers are best friends from before we were in this world. And I'll explain Ma Keshe. 2 weeks ago, I was by my parents. Actually, yes, you have to do it with you too. Because you were part of this too. 2 weeks ago, I was by my parents' house in Ranana. And I saw there this huge stack of something my children don't know what it is. It's these big black rectangular things that have like this rolling black thing in the inside with two wheels in it. Does anyone know what I'm referring to? VHS tapes, yes. So I look down at the bottom, I look in my parents' room, and I say, what is this? What is all this? So basically, we were one of the first. We made Aliyah in July of 89. But before then already, we were probably one of the first in our neighborhood to get one of those huge video recording devices, which you carried around in a box to put it on your... I'm sure some many of you had it. Put it on your shoulder. And we had it in the house probably since about 1987, 1988. But when we made Aliyah, we took a lot of footage. And then my mother would send it to my grandparents, who at the time were living in, where do grandparents live in America? Boca Raton, right. So they would send it to Boca Raton. And basically, I asked my mother what happened. She said, well, after my grandparents were nifted, so when my mother went to go clean the house, she took back all the videos that she had sent over the years of all the kids and cousins sending regards and showing them what life is like in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm just finding a lot of gems, and you guys are in there also. You're Eitan's age, right?
Oh, your age.
You're my age? Oh, I thought you were Eitan's. Anyway, the kid. So all you guys as kids sending us brachas, also whatever. It's just so. And I'm saying Yossi's brother-in-laws were in choir with me, and we did some solo. There's more footage. Don't worry. There's more coming.
On YouTube also.
Huh?
It's on YouTube also.
It's on YouTube already?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
fair. Not your videos, but different
yeah.
Of all your singing.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff. So why am I saying all this? Because it's definitely gotten me going through this loop of childhood, of I'm sending it to like all my siblings and to like best friends of the family, and they're already talking to me about charging me for family therapy that's going to come as a result of them digging deep into their inner child and everything. And but it's gotten me really like surrounded in this dance of like one word, tmimus, tmimut. Just now, was life really tamim back then? You know, I'm looking at my parents. Was it really tamim? It wasn't. But my experience of it was. That's what I keep on talking about with my siblings. Like, I'm looking at my parents around my age and even a little bit younger. And I'm seeing everyone sitting around the piano and singing and everything. That was the moment that the video was on and that, you know, the other footage, you know, didn't make the cut of when the video wasn't, you know, on. But it got me so much, you know, into sticking on my perception as a child regarding the world. Thinking about Hashem, thinking about Emuna, and most specifically about thinking about what the experience was living in Eretz Yisrael, what was it like living in Eretz Yisrael. Needless to say, like all of you, those of you especially that have little kids, last night and a few times already in the last year or two, we re-experienced something that I went through as a kid when I was 10 years old when the Gulf War took place here in Eretz Yisrael. And there was a similar experience, a little bit different. Back then it was with gas masks, and there was obviously no social media. All you had was the radio or the one channel that was on Israeli television back then. But ki'ikaron, you didn't really have that much that got you so absorbed into it like we have today. And we're going in the craziest way, we're going forward right now into this tkufa that's all about hachana. You know, when Chazal say that you have to learn for 30 days before every yantiv about the halachas of that specific yantiv, really the source of it is Pesach. That's really what it was. That's what it was meant for, because of the amount of halacha that we have for Chag HaPesach. So much halacha. There's so many different dinim. There's so many different inyanim. There's so many different concepts. So when Chazal say Sholim Vedorshim Shloshim Yom, they're always speaking about Pesach, and bifrat, the week before Pesach, it's supposed to be the busiest week, especially in the situation that I'm in, where you're fielding questions, very relevant halachic questions. And of course, many, you know, this year, all the questions that are coming in are like, I feel so stupid asking this, but. That's what, like, every question, right, the last few days is, I feel so weird asking you about this now, but. And it just shows how beautiful Hashem Yitbarach, like, Yidden that could be so consumed with their own personal tzaras are still wanting to see and make sure and see how could they make sure that their Pesach is on to the best of their ability halachically. And just every time I get one of these, I just look up, I say, Ribono Shel Olam, you said, B'nei Bechori Yisrael, these are your children, these are your kinderlach, look at this. What a rachmanis, this is Me'orah and Shemayim. What does this do? This is unbelievable. This is so precious. So how do we go? How do we get to this place? How do we prepare for this Yom Tov? How do we prepare for Pesach this year? And I just want to share with you a story that I have no idea why I shared this year before Tfilas Ne'ilah by us in Shirat David. I don't know why. Because you could say because it has to do with Eliyahu Navi, and you know when we say by Tfilat Ne'ilah, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, that's, you know, referencing what happened with Eliyahu Navi and the Nevi'ei Habal. Maybe that's why I thought about it. But I, it's freaking me out how shayach this story it was to the day that came. What was it? How many days after Yom Kippur? B'Simchas Torah? 10 days later? 11 days later? Mashkazim? To every single day that we're in right now. Bifrat to Yidden coming out on a night like tonight to see so many beautiful people here, mamash, with such a hunger to want to be close, Hashem, to want to feel like we're doing the best that we can. This is just a crazy story. I'm telling you, I can't believe that this is the story we said before Tfilas Ne'ilah. I'd never heard it before, and I heard it that week, and I got so excited about it. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to talk about one of his favorite friends, and he used to say amazing things about him to his students, but the students couldn't tell if he was really just making stories up or he was really saying stories about himself. He just didn't want to say it was him. Or was there really such a person like the Baal Shem Tov was talking about? And this tzaddik's name was Rebbe Levi. Rebbe Levi. And he kept on talking about Rebbe Levi, Rebbe Levi. All these big stories, like mamash, big, big stuff, talking about Rebbe Levi. So finally, the Baal Shem Tov noticed one day that they're not really buying into this figure, Rebbe Levi. So the Baal Shem Tov says to them, Chevre, you want to go meet Rebbe Levi today? They freak out. They say, really? This actually, it's like, yeah, yeah. Today, we'll go out to the fields of Davin Mincha, and you'll see this Rebbe Levi. They're more excited than they ever were. And they get together, and they do all the hachanas, whatever they have to do to prepare, and they come, and they stand by a certain tree. The Baal Shem Tov says, okay, look what's going on here. And they see this farmer coming out after a long day of work. He's finishing the last few things he has to do after sweating bullets during that day. The way that I heard the story is that he was wearing like Ukrainian overalls and a sweaty t-shirt and all beaten up. And he looked so like, he just looked like he was at the end. And it was mincha time. So whatever, he stopped, he dived in a quick mincha. And the Baal Shem Tov says to his students, he says, that's Rebbe Levi. And they say, that's Rebbe Levi. This guy's sweating. He looks exhausted. He's knocked off a mincha. He knocked it off. And they say, that's Rebbe Levi. And they're thinking, this is very, very bizarre. The Baal Shem Tov says, wait. Then comes another beautiful tzaddik. The long beard comes and gazes into Rebbe Levi's eyes, turns back, and he walks away. So he said, the Baal Shem Tov says to his Talmidim, do you know who that was? He says, that was Eliyahu Navi. So they're very, very confused. What's going on over here? That's the tzaddik, and now you're showing us Eliyahu Navi that came to see this tzaddik who looked like just a bemetz, like some of us after a long day, we have to knock off a mincha. Happens all the time. Not here, I'm saying. Other places, maybe. Happens, you knock off a mincha. I don't know, I'm here, sure here it's gevad. Happens. Happened to me today. So, the Baal Shem Tov says, I want to explain to you something. We always think that the great level that a person can reach to receive a Gilui Eliyahu, that Eliyahu Navi comes and reveals himself to you, that's the greatest thing in the world. But I want to tell you something. In Shemaim, they told Eliyahu Navi that there's going to be a yid thousands of years after you were in the world. Thousands of years after Hashem told us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Beisavadim. Thousands of years after Hashem revealed himself fully to us and gave us the Torah, where the tradition began. And thousands of years after that happens, there's still going to be a Jew that despite all the tirdos of Olam Hazeh, all the things that boggle him down in this world, he's still going to make time and carve time out of his day to be connected to what happened at Amamad Har Sinai. Eliyahu Navi heard that such a thing exists. He says, I can't believe people are still going to hold on. So from Shamayim, they give a gift to Eliyahu Navi to come down to look into the eyes of someone that's still holding on, no matter what. Thousands of years later, that's still making room in his life for Hashem, despite all the concealment that he's going through. They gave Eliyahu Navi a gift, and you saw him receiving the gift of looking into the eyes of someone like that. And I was thinking about this story right when I walked in here, and I'm looking at all of you, and I'm thinking, Ma Nishtana? What's the difference between that Rebbe Levi and if the Baal Shem Tov, if Eliyahu Navi walked in here and he saw Jews sitting around a table, after our whole story, after all the pain, the confusion, the terror, the fear, and the conviction that, like, Mamish Ein Od Milvado, each of you would be a gift for Eliyahu Navi to look at. I have no doubt in my mind. I really feel that. I really, really, really feel that. And I, again, this story we said Mamish right before Ne'ilah, and I'm thinking, like, since then, how many gifts Eliyahu Navi could have received this year of Yidden, of parents, of Almanot, of Yitomim, but even Pshutei Ha'am? How many gifts Eliyahu Navi could get this year? Never was such a thing, more than ever. Obviously, Eliyahu HaNavi is the star of Leila Seder. Obviously, not just the Kos Shel Eliyahu. And here it could have been one of the shiurim for tonight. Who wrote the Haggadah? There's a lot to say about this. And one of the Maseiros is it was written by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu was the same letters in the word, Hebrew word, Alevai. Eliyahu and Alevai is the same letters. Alevai means if only. If only. Alevai. I wish when I was a kid here, my father used to put in a lot of Israeli music into the house because he's Israeli. So I grew up with a weird genre. I really, because I'm also still stuck in my head with these videos that I told you about. So I'm listening to the soundtrack in the house. There was Yanni. Not sure why. Yanni was there. Schlockrock was really big in the house back then, as if I'm the only one in the room, right? Schlockrock was big. And some Israeli singers like Mati Kaspi, and one of them, his name was Boaz Sharabi, who had a very famous song called Alevai. Alevai. I actually saw footage of some of the chevra from Kibbutz Be'eri that got together yesterday for the first time, but they were together in a long time. They sat around in a circle, and they were singing this song. Alevai. Tmimus, like, if only we could just, it could just be sweet. If only we could just enjoy the moment. If only we didn't have to worry. If only, if only, if only. That's the Alevai, that's the Eliyahu HaNavi energy that's this Pesach, probably more than ever. So I want to look at something. Thank you for, all right, thank you for printing this. I want us to see something that I think is Dvarim HaShavim L'chol Nefesh. Didn't plan for such a long hakdama, but like I told you in the beginning, we're feeling what we're feeling. And I want us to go to make sure that we don't miss out this year more than ever on the point of Leila Seder to get back to the Tmimus, to get back to simplicity. And we're not going to read the whole thing. I just want us to see a few words from someone who really was living in a world. Remember I told you before about like 26-page Daf Mekoros type of shiur? You have to understand something. Every word, every single time that Rabbi Nachman of Breslov would speak, you have to imagine it that it's already after every Makor you ever heard of was already Shagur Befiv, was in his mouth. And every makor you can ever think of, from not just the Tanakh, but every word in the Gemara, every word in the Zohar HaKadosh, every Rishon and every Achron up to this time, is all already in the words that he's saying over here. Seder night, we all know, is a night that's destined for greatness. What you could give over to your children Seder night, in terms of giving them over Yiddishkeit, is more than you can give them all year long. That is the klal. In the Zohar HaKadosh, the language is called mochin de gadlut. That means expansive mindset. What it means is that basically what's available for you to give over to your child on Seder night, it takes you all year long with a lot of work and preparation and hasmada and kviyas and being committed and everything. Seder night, there's something in the air because of the mitzvah of Higat Levincha Bayomahu, because of this mitzvah that we have to give over to our children. Now, something very, very important before we see this inside, how Rabbi Nachman is going to explain to us how to make sure we mekayim this mitzvah to the best of its effect, dafka this year. We learned in one of the women's shiurim that we have from Rav Kluger's Ayesod, that's very fundamental for our approach to Seder this year. Where was the first mitzvah given to us? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Where were we when we got this mitzvah? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. We were still in Mitzrayim. Where was the first Seder Pesach done? Where did we have the first Leila Seder? Where were we?
In Mamad.
Huh? In Mamad? Then, that Mamad.
With the blood and
the... No, very good. Very good. I hope we're not in Mamad this Seder Pesach, but... But definitely, no, I saw all these posts today already. I'm preparing the mashka. Like, Hashem can do anything. Palema Hashem Devar, the Ribbono Shel Olam can do anything. Leil Seder Rishon that we experienced, where were we? We were still in Mitzrayim. The stuff we were speaking about didn't even happen yet. The Makot did. But the actual Yitzia from Mitzrayim did not take place yet. Says the Chernobyl Rebbe, Reb Motel Chernobyl, and the Reb Menachem Nachum of Chernobyl, the Mara Enayim. He says that it had to be like that. That a person in the future will say, "Hey, I can't look at me. I'm all this tzaras. They were out of Egypt. They were experiencing freedom, so they could have a Leil Seder and be all fabreng and all be besimcha. Really, where were they? Leil Seder, the first Leil Seder. Where were they? They believed that the stuff that they were going to say that night was going to happen. And it happened. And we have to remember that as we approach this year's Leila Seder, no matter what's going to be, we have to remember that crystal clear. They were not in the story that they were talking about, but their dibur about what was going to happen, basically how Rabbi Nachman is going to show us, helped create what ended up happening. Now, there's a pasuk that we say all the time in Hallel, and, you know, Pesach, it's interesting. Pesach's known for a lot of things, but what it's probably known for the most, especially the first day of Yontiv, and there's a beautiful letter that the Pius Etzner Rebbe wrote to his students in the yeshiva before the war, that made them make sure that they focus on Hallel, because Hallel happens a bunch of times over Pesach, and this, it's brought down in the halachas. The Rambam speaks a lot about this. What is this Halal Hagadol? What exactly is it referring to? But there's a word, there's a phrase that David HaMalka Mashiach, but David HaMelech says in Halal, that is really this, and that is the three words, He'emanti ki adaber. He'emanti ki adaber. We've said it, we know the Nusach, we know these words. But what does it mean? Do you know that if a person focused on those three words, they would probably just speak words of emunah the whole night, actually every day of their life. He'emanti ki adaber. The more that I speak about it, about something, the more I become a mamin in what I'm speaking about. The more that I read the garbage Amalekite posts nonstop that instill fear and chametz and terror into our minds, the more I believe in that. The more that I speak about what I want to speak about, what I choose to speak about, the more I become it. You are, we always say, you are what you eat, which is a different Torah. It's true with the matzah. You are what you eat. That's for a different shiur. We did it last week. But you also are what you speak. You are what you talk about. And David HaMelech was saying, the more that I spoke about you, Ribono Shleilam, the more that I believed in you. The more that I spoke about you, the more that I believed in you. So Rabbi Nachman says like this, this is Likutei Maharan, Tinyana Memdalet, Tinyana, just for those that don't know yet, Tinyana means the second volume. There's basically two volumes in Likutei Maharan. There's Rukama, Mahadura Kama, the first volume, which is the bulk of it. And then they have Likutei Maharan, Tinyana, the second volume. Rabbi Nachman says like this, Ha'emuna tola bapeh shel adam. Emuna is dependent on a person's mouth. Everyone says, I don't know if I feel it, and is it in my heart yet? I haven't reached that level. What are you talking about? What are you actually talking about? Where is your mouth? What is your dibur? How do I know if I've reached it yet? Well, is that what you're speaking about? Tola here can also mean it's dependent or it's hanging. It's like emunah is hanging in the air, and then if your mouth comes and fetches it, like teref, and that's what you use your mouth for, the emunah becomes you. I am not, because I'm done. I'm sure up you are also with, you know, giving our kids all these answers that they could call us out on it, like from miles away, in terms of trying to calm them down and everything. Like, it's cute and sweet, but they're much wiser, deeper, and more mature than we realize at every single age. Every child, no matter what age they're at, the lashon of emunah is shaveh lechol nefesh, and they need to hear words of emunah. They need to hear words of Diburei Emet ve'emunah. Ha'emunah tola bepeh shel adam. Bifchinas odia emunatcha befi. How do I let your emunah be known to the world and to me in my mouth? Odia emunatcha befi. Hainu. Al yedei shemedabrim ha'emunah bepeh. Zehu be'atzmo emunah. You come to this place called Emunah. What do we want now more than anything? We want to be victorious, right? But a yid that's victorious is one that goes through whatever we're going through with emuna. That is the way, that's the victorious way of a Jew's marching in this world. Now, in order to reach this place that my mouth is busy speaking words of faith, and that's how I'm getting by, that's how my days are being experienced, ומחמת זה צריך להיזהר מאוד מדיבורים של כפירה ואפיקורסות. This opens the whole new world that we have to be very careful. For Breslover critics, this is where they have a field trip, because they don't really understand what Rabbi Nachman is referring to over here. When he says you have to be very careful of speaking words of heresy, kfira ve'apikorsut. Anyone want to give a double lashon here? Kfira ve'apikorsut? Anyone?
Heresy.
Yeah. Is there anything else? JG, any difference between the two? Kfira and apikorsut?
Denial.
Okay. We'll flow with that. We'll see. You have to be very, very... oh, sorry. Yeah. Slicha. Sorry. Ma kara li? Busha v'chirpa. Sorry.
Kfira is like to doubt Hashem. And apikorsut is what the goyim do. Right? To be like the goyim, you know?
You're saying that that's something that's... Oh, like doubting Hashem is only for non-Jewish people.
Their language would be more apikorsut, no?
It would be nice if that was the... I think we may stick with Ari. We'll see. He says you have to be very careful from this type of talk. When you repeat such words, it's not that you are saying it from your heart. You could be the biggest ma'amin and not a heretic at all. Chas v'sholom, rak shu chozer v'omer divrei apikorsut sheshama b'shem acherim. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what that person said? Yeah, but you're still under the assumption that when he says acherim, it's talking about non-Jewish people. It's just as much about Yidden than it is about... I wish, alevai, that was the pshat. Alevai. Rumor has it, it's still not like that amongst Klal Yisrael. Alevai. Still merit, you hear, can you believe these people, they're those rallies, do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear that person's dad? Did you hear what that person's thinking? Did you hear that person's matnish, the fact that last night he was just a victory of Israeli intelligence and they didn't bring the Rabbanu Shleilam into the equation? Even saying, I'm sorry for even saying such words, Rabbi Nachman says, even repeating such comments that someone else said, he says, those are words that shouldn't come out of our mouth. The only thing that our mouth should be busy doing is just being used to speak words of emunah. Just to be busy speaking words of emunah. Shehem apikorsim, he's talking about other people, v'hu mitlotzetz mehem, and you could even be making fun of the apikorsis' take on the world. Af al pichen gam mizeh tzarich lizaher meod, ki adibur shel kfira mazik le'emunah gam. You think, you're trying to point out how ridiculous other people's opinions are, because it's not pointing out that it's so not words of emunah. Rabbi Nachman says that's how it starts to find its way inside of you without you even noticing it. A little petach opens up where you use your mouth for words that don't belong in your mouth, and it creeps in. You're like, oh my God, I myself said that word. I don't know if that ever happened to you. Was there ever a word you were very careful of saying most of your life because you were under the assumption that it was an improper word? Then you grew up and you realized a lot of people that look much firmer than you are using the same word. So then you eventually used that word too because you wanted to feel free or I don't know what. And then you were like, that's not shayach to me. That lashon is not shayach to me. It's the same exact thing over here. The certain lashonos, they're not shayach to us. אף על פי כן גם מזה צריך לזהר מאוד, כי הדבור הזה של כפירה מזיק לאמונה גם, הוא איסור גמור. It's absolutely forbidden, כי על השם יתברך ברוך הוא, אסור לומר דברי הלצות אפילו בדרך שחוק. And it's such a dangerous thing, because we live in such a sarcastic and cynical world, where we're always making, there's memes, there's jokes, we try to use for a lot of different things to calm ourselves down. But when it comes to hashgacha of Hashem in this world, there's no room for comedy. There's no room for comedy. It's a very serious thing. And if there was ever a serious time in our lives to make sure that our mouth regarding the hashgacha of Hashem is only used to point out how the Ribono Shel Olam is taking care of absolutely everything, the time is now, and specifically that time is Leila Seder, because as you all know, the difference between the Egyptians and the Yehudim is the difference between Paro and Pesach. Paro is Pera, I use my mouth for bad. Pesach is my Peh is Sach, my mouth is being used to speak about your wonders. That's what the mouth is used for. Pera, Pesach, either my mouth is used to use bad language, not curses, not swear words, but just words that don't contribute to the overall purpose of why Hashem gave me a mouth. You remember that when it's brought down mamash in the beginning of the Torah, that when it says that when man was created, so the words there that are used in the pasuk, it says Vayi Adam leNefesh Chaya, man was like a living spirit, and the Targum says over there, right over there, LeRuach Mamala. What differentiates us from animals is that we are a spirit that speaks. Ruach memalela. That's who we are. So if that differentiates us from animals, am I bringing animalistic energy into that which differentiates me from an animal? And that's why Rabbi Nachman was so big on making sure that we use the Bechira Chofshit for over our mouth in the most proper way. I can go on so many tangents right now, and I'm choosing not to, because I want to make sure that we get to another point here. V'zeklal, Rabbi Nachman continues over here, and he says like this. Listen to the words of this tzaddik. V'zeklal gadol v'yisod v'ikar b'avodas Hashem liotam b'yashar. La'avod oto yitbarach b'tmimut b'li shum chochmos v'chakiros klal. Lo gam mi'chochmos sheyesh b'avodas Hashem be'atzmo. Tzarich leharchik me'od ki chol elu ha'chochmos shel ha'olam. שיש להנכנסים ומתחילים קצת בעבודת השם אינם חוכמוס כלל. הם רק דמיונות ושטוטים ובלבולים גדולים. Just going to read one more line. ואלו החוכמות מפילים מאוד את האדם מעבודת השם, דהיינו מה שחושב וחוקר, הוא מדגדג ביותר, אם הוא יוצא כראוי במה שעושה, כי בשר ודם אי אפשר לו שיצא ידי חובתו בשלמות. רבי נחמן says, what happens to a person when they go through this journey of life, when their mouth is being used not just to avoid bad speech or to quote quotes of heretics, is that it leads you to other places which Rabbi Nachman warned his Hasidim to stay away from by all means. Now, this is pretty hard for certain people, because Rabbi Nachman was very, 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 very much not into Sifrei Mechakrim and philosophy. As he said many times, the world of philosophy is a world that everyone can walk in there, but not everyone can come out of there. And I've been thinking about this statement since I first started learning Rabbi Nachman when I was 16, because it was one of the first things I remember learning. And then I wonder, it's like, well, what do you do with the whole world that we have within, like, Yiddishkeit, right? And Reb Nosson of Breslov, his Talmud, was asked that question as well. What about, you know, I'm thinking about obviously one specific book right now, but like, what do we do with all these worlds of Chakira and philosophy, which actually sharpen our mind to get things down even better? Well, all I could say is that in an era that we're living in right now, Emuna Pshuta seems to be the most shayach thing that's Shavim Lechol Nefesh. The place of not going into Chakiros, why did Hashem do like that to that person? Why didn't he do it to that person? Because you go into that orchard, not everyone comes out alive. It's way too complicated. Especially asking the kshailas that we have in days like we're living in right now, based on footage that many of us have seen since Simchas Torah, you start asking the question, why chalila did that person sit shiva over a daughter and that person isn't? You're not going to get anywhere good. It won't lead anybody to anywhere good. Why did Hashem, what's the whole inyan here? Bichlal, what? Not going to come out of there in a good place. And Rabbi Nachman warns people very much. He says, Don't start going to the wise, because he says it'll lead you to another place. That same line of thinking, of trying to dissect things, is also going to lead you to dissect your own observance of Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah? This line of thinking, of dissecting why certain things happen, it opens up this whole mind, school of thought in your mind, that starts, the result is boomeranging back to you and asking shailas on your own observance, whether it was really good enough or not good enough, whether you're halachically yotze or not. Now this brings us to something that Rabbi Nachman was very, very much against. If you look at the next source, look at the bottom. וגם בעניין החומרות יתרות בפסח לא היה מסכים כלל על המרבים לדקדק יותר מדי ונכנסים במראה שחורות גדולות. So in the beginning of the year, I told you it's beautiful that some people are asking some just like basic halacha questions. כמובן, half of them have to do with can my kids eat kitniot? That's like basically what the the most common question is like this year, because my kid is like this, and my kid is like that, like that. That's what a lot of the shaylas are. At least they're asking, you know, maybe who knows what the answer is, but at least they're asking a question. That's very good. But obviously we're speaking about chever that show up to the Seder with rulers. I don't know if anyone here does. I hope not. I mean, the Haggadah itself today, someone told me they have these in the Haggadahs themselves, where you can measure if you're Yotze Kazayit, although someone sent me a picture today of the stipler's measuring of a Kazayis, and it's, I should put it out to everybody. Everyone's going to feel much better about themselves. But I'll send it out. Okay. It'll make anyone feel good. Yeah. But what he's saying over here is that this, again, I want you to follow with me for a second. This same train of thought that goes too much into dissecting things leads you to dissect your own Avodat Hashem and doubt whether it's really for real or it was good enough at the end. And Rabbi Nachman said, you got to stay away from these things. Because it can't be that the point that of Hashem giving us the Torah, and after we do a mitzvah, and after we keep a halacha, we spend time doubting whether it was good enough spiritually or whether based on the best that we could have done halachically, we start doubting if it was good or not. It's mamish like what we say at Mariv, Vaseh Satan Milfaneinu, it's like that exact nekuda. You have to believe that when you do a mitzvah, you did it. You learned before. You're doing the best that you can, as he says over here. Who could say? In this world, there's no such thing as a person that does everything perfectly. It's not the point either. So back in the bottom, second line, ve'heirich b'sicha zo, this is speaking about Rabbi Nachman. Heirich b'sicha zo az, ki ish echad mi anashenu, sha'al lo zichronon livracha, she'ela achad b'inyan eze chumra b'pesach, ech li'itnaheg, v'az yitlotzetz v'meno me'od, ve'yirba ledaber me'inyan ze she'en tzrichim lechaper achar chumrot yeterot, v'shigaon, v'bilbulim. He's saying, don't look to add on more stringencies than the basic halachas of Pesach already present before you. Meaning just getting the pashut pshat of Leila Seder is enough for you to memish, let's make sure that you're on top of your game. Not to add on more things, because what it'll end up doing is that you'll start to then doubt other areas that you thought were well enough as well. And that can't be the way that we approach the night of Leila Seder, because Leila Seder, you're supposed to be busy doing something else. What are you supposed to be busy doing Leila Seder? One thing and one thing only. Through every act, through every pas, through every saying of the Haggadah, through every ounce of matzah, through every kos of yain, through the karpas, through every simen, what's coming down on Leila Seder is something infinitely, infinitely greater. Mochin de Gadlut. It's the night, and I know many of you in this room, and I know this is what you cry out at night, over this more than anything in the world. How do I give over Yiddishkeit to my children? I know, the many of you that I know in this room, I know that's what you cry about at night. That's what you want. If someone were to tell you, listen, if you really put all your money in this, your children will have a better future. And if we speak about it financially, if someone told me, listen, if you put a lot of your savings in here, it's guaranteed that Baruch Hashem, whatever, how many children you have, all your children, that when they get married, they won't have to worry. And you could also be a Navi to know what the prices in the Dagan will be in whatever many years. They will not have to worry about finding a place if they want close to their parents. You would do anything. You would do anything. Pesach night is the same exact thing the Zohar HaKadosh is teaching us, where we're told the gates are open because the Torah designated this night for Masorah. Don't get stuck on additional stringencies that may take away from the purpose of what this night is all about. Because that would just be the biggest fisfus in the world. It would be such a missing out. Now, you'll see there's more here if you want. You could fill in the end of your sichas. And he spoke a lot about this, Rabbi Nachman. And you should know, Rabbi Nachman was machmir in many areas. But when it came to this inyan of the chumras of Pesach, he made a note to mamish, make it an inyan to not go overboard, to not go nuts, because you're missing out on what the whole purpose of the night is. So if you go back inside on the top thing over here, on the top piece, if you see right after the quote Avodah Zarah Gimel in the middle of the paragraph, Lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharet. The Torah wasn't given to angels. If it was given to angels, we'd be a very different world. Val elu hamedakdekim u'machmirim b'chumrot yeterot, aleihem ne'emar v'chai bahem ve'lo sheyamut bahem. The whole purpose is to feel alive, not to feel dead. Ki en lehem shum chayut klal v'tamid hem b'mara shchora machmat shenidme lehem she'enam yotzim yedei chovatam b'amitzvot she'em osim. There's certain people, they never feel alive after they did a mitzvah. Why? Because they're always doubting whether, was I really yotzei or not? You can't live like that. And you definitely don't want to leave Seder night after going to sleep at whatever time it is, wondering, did I really give it over to my child or did I not? You want to be shalem with the mouth, with the usage of your mouth on that night. That's one night you just want to be shalem with it. How can you be shalem with it? If you go into Seder night knowing, yes, I have all these things I have to take care of. And yes, the time and the kids and all. It's true, but Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm begging you, let there be one moment throughout Seder night that something just clicks, something's there. Something is given over. One moment. One siman. Like we show up with so many different haggadahs and all our notes and everything, and it's beautiful, but the tefillah a parent has to have going into Seder night is Hashem Yitbarach. And when that right opportune time is there for Masorah to be given over to my child, let me think big and let the words, Ha'emanti ki adaber, let me be speaking about you, Hashem, in a way like my children never heard it before. I will say that this year is a little bit different on this level. Someone told me last night that at about 3:15 in the morning, after being as much time as whatever they were, I don't remember what time we ran inside there. What time was it, Berach? Quarter to two. So you're in there for a chunk of time. And then all the texts start coming in. Oh, that was just the smorgasbord. They're giving out first course now, meaning what we received is just Hakdama. So someone said to me, you know, my wife and children, what we did at that moment is we all held hands and we sat together, Mizmor Letodah Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, after all the booms were going on and while we're still in there, and we realized what kind of time we're living in, that this could happen to our people, and yet, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzilinu Miyadam, I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but I know what happened right now. And my friend said, and we looked into our children's eyes, and at that moment, whatever we ever tried to give over to them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we saw clearly what went in at that moment is more than we could have ever imagined. So we're getting these wacky, powerful, painful hakdamas of what the purpose of Seder night is all about. This year more than, and like we said in a shir last week, you know, for us here in Efrat, really, Simchas Torah began last year on Pesach. We've been in this since last year, Pesach over here. And I do also just want to add that if you want to learn from someone who lives this Torah of Odia Emunatcha Befi, He'emanti Ki Adaber, just listen to what Leo said last week at the Askara for his wife and daughters, or replay his Hespedim. This is a level of emunah that we're not accustomed to. It's something else. And everyone thought, after it happened, and he was talking like this, well, he's going to, you know, he'll cave, like he'll crash. No, he hasn't crashed. And it's not because there's denial going on. There's a very real facing of reality in his own way. I just have to share with you to make it a little bit lighter. He's, you know, him and we go back many years. We learned for smicha together. We ran yeshiva together with Leo Diana Miftar. And, you know, Brits, are there any British chevra in the room? Yeah. Chetzi. So Brits, you know, very misudar, very select. So his daughters come to us a lot to daven Friday night. And then, you know, there's like a rush of people that leave right as I go up to give a drasha because their family has been waiting for like half an hour, 45 minutes. I don't take it personally. A lot of chevra have to leave because it's getting late. I saw Leo in shul about a month ago, Friday night. So what's pshat? So he said to me, he says, Rav Shlomo, you know, somehow it happened to be I ate a rather larger meal at 4:30 p.m. on Friday, thus enabling me to be able to come tonight. So I told the daughters at the Askara, I said, you know, listen, I already spoke to Gary catering. We're going to send over every Friday, 4 p.m., have a nice gesund meal so that he could come. And he came again this last Friday night, and I checked to see how his stomach, you know, whatever. But when I'm thinking about it, I was like, he said at the Leviath, he said, it may sound crazy the way I'm talking now, but I learn emunah every day, he said. He said he learns, whether it's with the stuff he was learning with Ephraim Goldberg or Rav Shai Shachter. He quoted my friend David Sachs at one of the Leviaths. It's the stuff he's doing every day. You know how you're able to speak Emunah at Leila Seder? If you're learning and speaking Emunah every day. Every day. Like some people, they get, some kids remember, oh, it was twice a year my parents sounded spiritual. It just wasn't their thing. Maybe that was good enough until our era. That wasn't really their thing. They gave us a lot of nice things, but you know the spiritual side wasn't so strong. Ayom ze kvar lo yavod. Ain't going to work today anymore. Every single child needs to be surrounded with the soundtrack of Diburei Emunah all the time. Not a few times a year when it's opportune times. The headquarters of it is Leila Seder. That's the headquarters of it. You know that there was a beautiful minhag that we mentioned his name before, the Chernobyl Rebbe, that every year during Magid, yeah, right before they got to the Siman of Magid, so he used to pull out this like machberet, this notebook, that every year the notebook got bigger and bigger. And what he would first do before he did Magid is that he would read to all his children and grandchildren all the things that happened to him during that year, that for him felt like Hashgacha Pratis moments and level of miracles. That's what he would do. And that every year, that machberet got bigger and thicker and thicker and fatter. And every year the children realized, yes, of course we have to know what happened to our forefathers, but if I don't see that happening in my own life, there's an extent to how much my children will still be interested if they heard this story last year also. But if my children are hearing more things every year that happen to their own parents, that's the greatest thing in the world. You know, I'm going back to how I opened the shmuz tonight. My father's mother passed away in Argentina when I was probably 22. I don't think I saw her more than six times in my life. It was very hard. She was always in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. It was very hard to schlepping. I may have seen her five or six times, six occasions, let's say. And as many of you know, she was very young and she was put on a cattle car on the way to Auschwitz with her mother and sisters. They stuck 80 of them in a room that was about a quarter of this size. And they put a bucket, they were generous to throw a bucket in there for a Jew who was had dire stomach problems, and it was a whole bad scene. My great-grandmother told my grandmother listen, you're small enough and frail enough. Take that pail, stand on it. You could probably make your way through the barbed wire. You know how they left like little tiny holes in the cattle cars, right? For the window with like little barbed wire over it. You've seen pictures, right? None of us understand where at that moment she got the koach to take that pail, stand on top of the pail, take a look back at her mother and sisters who ended up in the gas chambers, jumped off the train, hit her head on a rock, was out cold for I don't know how long, hid in a few churches for a few years, and today her great-grandchildren are being born in Yerushalayim. Had I been able to ask her, had I was... mature enough, or got over any language barrier, because she didn't speak really Hebrew or English, it was mainly Yiddish and Polish. Had I figured out back then to like, and that's why it's so special about your Zaidi, your you know, just that schus that you have and your children have, had I been able to like ask her more details to put into my family's magid, do anything in the world. So you know what? I can't. She's not in this world anymore. And she went to her kever with thousands of potential magid moments in there, or odia emunas chabefi moments that could have been. But you know what? The emes is that we don't have to go to the extreme of her story to be able to add into our own personal family haggadahs extra magid. We don't. Especially this year. Because they're going to be writing books about the time that we're in. They're going to be writing haggadahs about the tkufa of Am Yisrael, going through what they're going through, like this year. This is what they're going to be writing books about you and I. They are. There's going to be a Masorah. There will be Sfarim written about the Emunah of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Tavshin Pei Dalet. It's hard for us to relate to that because we don't relate to ourselves as these figures. But we're living in it. We may as well speak about what they're going to be talking about. And maybe they won't be talking about too much if we don't share what it's like. We need to document it. I was telling all the Chevron Shul and the Kolel from day one, from Mamash, day after Simchas Torah, I know it's very hard. Document yourself. Speak into a camera about what it is to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, what it feels like right now. What does it feel like? What is the experience? It's very hard. Some of the Chevron tried. It was too hard for them. It's a very hard thing. However, I don't feel like we really have... we have that much of a choice. I think it's incumbent upon us, Dafka this year more than ever, to make sure that this is where, again, like what we're getting from this is where we're using our speech. We're using our speech for Dafka this Nikuda. And this is what really elevates us to a place of Malchut. Without getting, I'm not going to end with this, but I don't even want to say it not to confuse you, but just Kabbalistically speaking, according to the spheres, the sphere, the lowest sphere, the sphere that connects each world to the next world, the last sphere is Malchut. Malchut always corresponds to Peh, to the mouth. A person who's able to speak about the wonders that Hashem does for him in their life has a bechina of Malchut, of royal, of being regal, of having kingship in this world. You establish your court in this world based on the ability to speak about your emunah with Ribono Shel Olam. And if there's one thing that I think that we've been experiencing, we haven't been experiencing bichlal, that sense, that feeling, in terms of representation in the world, is that inyan of malchut, that maybe we felt for a few days post-June 1967, there was like a few days of feeling that malchus. And most of us weren't even around back then. I know, some of you were. I'm not trying to make anyone feel old, but just saying, most of us were not around back then. We're told about it. You know, can you imagine your children walking all these roads here and the streets here in Eretz Yisrael like kings, mamish kings, that whoever sees the king, the Bnei Melachim, has Yira? Our dibur about our emunah and Hashem can enable that mitzvah to flip over because it's not there yet. That's what needs to happen here. We have to walk the streets of Eretz HaKodesh like Bnei Melachim, where there's Yir'ah before the son of the king. The more we speak about what it means to be a Ben Melech, the more we point out the moments in our life of Hashgacha, the more we speak about it on an Emunah Pshuta level, and we don't doubt it. We don't bring the Chakira mind saying, well, it was really just my perception. Really, if you really think about it, it's not exactly that. Compare it. It's not as big as you think. Then why did Hashem give us a mouth? Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this mouth to differentiate us, to be able, those that are mamish, like we say all the time, what's kept us alive all these years is Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what's kept us alive all these years, our Mesorah. But in Chassidus they say, Torah Shebaal Peh is given to the one who's a Baal over his Peh. Someone who's a master over his mouth. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. Someone that uses his mouth, he's a master over it, to use it for learning about Abaya and Rava. To learn it, to see stories of tzaddikim, to use the mouth, their master over their mouth, to speak about showing their children that every single letter of the Torah is showing up in our life. And every halacha is just as relevant today as it ever was before. To those, the Torah is given over, and is given over dor ledor, yishabach ma'asecha, to make the Torah sweeter and better. So I want to give us a strong, strong bracha. To daven, before Seder begins, that I should have the awareness, I should make the most of every moment, because I'm not sure of which moment will seep into my child, but it's just a trick, because you know what it is? It's as if we're fine, we're set, we just got to give it over to our children. That's the whole trick. Chazal said the mitzvah of Hakel was the most beautiful mitzvah for the Yidden. It's the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about right before he dies. Because it's the mitzvah where we take, it says there, kedei liten schar limevi'en. The mitzvah of Hakel was that we thought, oh, we're so makpid, we're grabbing our children, we're throwing them under a talis, and they're getting that bracha like on Simchas Torah. But wait a second, it's your kid that brought you back to shul. You thought it was just about your child, it's really about you. Meaning to say, that much that we're speaking about giving it over to our children, Hashem Yitbarach, may it come back to me. And may I become a Baal or Baalat Emunah like never before. And may I use my mouth in the proper way. Lehagid daboker chazdecha v'mnascha balelos. And it should be like we say, ki meitzetcha me'eret mitzrayim arenu niflos. That no matter what is going to be, just like the first Leila Seder, we was done and said over. Not like we remember and think about it. It was given and it was done and said over in a state of galut. If chalila, that needs to still be the situation, us speaking about the nisim and niflos of our own magid should cause the great day to happen like never before. And it should just be besoros tovos for all of Am Yisrael. Shkoyach, everyone. Shkoyach, shkoyach.